This episode of Super Pulp Science is brought to you by the things we make. If you want to support Gregory Kamichuk, you can go to gmbkamichuk.ca. And if you think Justin Curry is just all right, you can go to chasingartwork.com.
Attention, citizens. It's time for Super Pulp Science.
This is Super Pulp Science, where we talk about how genre gets made. I am here with my long-suffering co-host, Justin Curry, known the world over as Chasing Artwork. I am GMB Kamichuk, but you can call me Gregory. And this is going to be my gripe session episode, I think. Hello, Justin.
Hello. I'm getting hydrated. It's important.
This is the day after Valentine's Day. Wherever you're finding this feed, yesterday was a day where people the world over find their matches or make their matches. And in a way, that's kind of what's on my mind, because I've been recently searching for some other artists, Justin. Don't take it personally, but you can't kiss all the pretty girls, as they say. I have some other projects on my mind, some short comics works. I love writing for other people. I love doing work in comics. And all the ideas I have are numerous, many, and varied, and require some different styles. And when you don't know those people, you have to go looking for them.
Holy. It's hard to find those people. They're rare.
I know. And the internet is full of people who claim to be amazing. But when you ask for the receipts, as it were, it becomes quite daunting. So I'll preface it by saying this. I have a few short comics projects, some experimental comics work. Because I had a collection of exactly the kind of stuff I wanted to do out, I thought it would be a good way of showing people what I intended and reaching out. Putting the call.
Perfect, because you don't want to be too vague, right? You don't want to say, I want to make a comic book. The end. Here's some comparable titles. Here's how many pages. Here's like the themes. Here, like, you know, like the exactly. More specific you can get, the better.
You
That's
got it.
Always a huge indicator when we have people coming to us to make work. The more stuff they have figured out on their end, the more professional and prepared they come off.
So as I get into my griping, you tell me, perhaps I've made a critical error. Maybe it's my fault. I'm gonna tell you what I posted on a few Facebook groups, on a few message boards, things like that. Basically, the message was of the same substance. Hi, this is me. Here's my name. You can Google it to see what I've done. I am looking for professional or emerging professional comic artists to do 3 to 5 page stories. 1 to 5 panels per page, $150 page rate, plus a page rate for the colorist, if you have a colorist. If you don't have a colorist, I'd like to see black and white submissions. No direct messages, please. Just post a few sequential pages below.
And then you reach out to them.
That's okay. Right.
Okay. Right? Yeah. I mean, that's... Actually, before we get into that, just for the listener who might be an emerging comic book artist or wants to get into it, what are some of those forums and sites and hashtags? Like, how do you find people looking for submissions? How do you find people who are looking for artists?
Well,
seem to be good at this.
Well, a super easy way, now that the internet exists, is to look for websites that list the best places for those things, because top 10 lists are so common, they just ruin the internet almost. But sometimes you can find a good top 10 list of places to post if you're looking for an artist as a comic. So if you know how to Google halfway, you can find some lists. One that I really like is called digitalwebbing.com, because you can put, they have broken their forum up so that you can post paid jobs or collaborations, right? So if you're not quite yet feeling like your work is of a certain level of skill where it'd be worth being paid to do it, or you're still trying to figure stuff out, you can go look for collaborators where nobody is trying to take a page rate or make a page rate. You're just like, for the sheer joy of making comics, you can right. find people and do stuff, try some stuff up. And then the paid work stuff is much more specific. You have to post how people will be paid, when they will be paid, what is the expectation for that paid work, so that you don't have too many of those blue water scenarios occurring where people are promising back end. In the paid work section, back end pay is not considered pay. That counts right. as a collaboration.
Which is, I was gonna, yeah, in your post, the fact that you have, like, here is the page rate you will get for the described work. That's great. I always, you know, my guard goes up when they're very vague about how and when this will make money. That should be, you know, one of the first conversations you have, especially with somebody that you don't know.
And there's also, there's a key feature in there too. $150 is not farting in silk money.
But it is, you specified emerging
right?
to professional, right?
Emerging to professional. And also I listed the number of panels that would be expected. 1 to 5 panels per page, which means no 9 panel Steven's grids.
9 to 12 yeah. panel pages that he's so yeah. fond of.
Nothing like that. It's too much to expect an emerging artist even be able to handle that, let alone make a living wage if they had to do that for $150 a page. So what I'm trying to do is create a job whereby someone could spend a week of time and get a week's wages.
Nice short, like, yeah, 5 pages. That's, yeah, that right. is super achievable. Yeah.
And if you were an emerging, and one of the reasons why I specified emerging is many emerging pros have a regular job also.
Yes.
And so this is the kind of work that you could plan around your regular job. So if you have a regular job, the assumption is, how do I manage that time? What is that worth? How can I give up, you know, a number of evenings to make this project? Is it worth it? I want all that.
Do you have a timeline attached to this project, or is this just kind of happens as it happens kind of thing? You're not on a strict deadline for this specific project.
I myself am not on a strict deadline. And with the right person, they could also set their own deadline. What I find is that deadline is less important as a discussion with somebody than what you're willing to pay them for the completed page. Right? Because if someone can complete 5 pages in a day, I'll pay them out for their 5 pages if they're pages of a quality, like, you know, Jack Kirby could do it. I'd pay for his pages, yeah. right?
Yeah.
So if you happen to be someone who can grind it out and it's amazing, and I don't care how long it took you. In fact, if you can do it faster, you should probably be paid more.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jack Kirby, that's why he got paid a lot more than 150 right? a day.
Or paid. At that time, I don't know if he did. But in adjusted 1940s dollars, I'm sure it worked out. I think he was paid like $50 a page at that time.
Pardon me, boy. Is this the Transylvania station?
Yeah, yeah, track 29. Oh, can I give you a shine?
No thanks.
Okay, so don't keep us waiting. You went to one of these sites, you posted this descriptive job posting, and then what happened?
I don't know if you remember, the last thing I described in the posting was no direct messages.
That was what I assumed was the first issue was going to be so many direct messages.
Hundreds, Justin. Hundreds of direct messages, of which I have opened 0. Particularly on my Facebook, because it'll let people know that it's been delivered. I made the mistake of clicking on a few out of a morbid curiosity, which then immediately was like, oh, you've seen it. So here's some more correspondence.
So that, like, the equivalent of like a spelling mistake on your resume, it just immediately goes into your note pile. They couldn't follow the instructions.
Exactly. Now, what I have been doing on the posts that I like on the public groups, someone can go looking for my posts on there. If you Google the exact language I use there, you'll find it. You know, some of them 30, 40 replies. Posting their pages, and on those pages, I am trying to give only positive feedback. So no negative feedback. If I think the page is like not that great, but you have an amazing DeLuca effect, right? Which is For the dear listener, that's when a single space in time is shown in the panel, but the character is shown in multiple positions through that moment in time.
I like those. Yeah.
Right. I like those. Like a huge library, say, and then somebody is like on different floors of it, moving around it all in one page. I love that kind of stuff. So someone has done something great. I'm pointing it out. I'm sort of having fun going through the submission pile of the people who have submitted properly. Mm-hmm. That part has been wonderful. Because people really respond, even if they know, okay, compared to these other people in the thing, my work is not that good. Comparatively, it takes a lot of bravery to post your work in a public forum, which is also why I said no DMs. Posting your work in a public forum takes guts. And that's what publishing is. If you can't handle being told that your work is no good by strangers, don't work in publishing. Doesn't matter how popular you are. People, there are people who hate you. You know, Stephen King has published how many, you know, 100,000 pages of text, and he has more people hate him verbally online than anyone else. But his books sell like crazy. So you're gonna have to bear with the audience. And so if you can't even post your thing publicly, that's problematic. Especially right. If those are the instructions. Then there are people who are taking my positive feedback as an invitation to criticize someone else's work.
Oh, so other people are then chiming in
with everything wrong with it.
Oh, dear.
So I'm only commenting on stuff I like so that that person's bravery can be rewarded with some positive feedback of like, here are some great strong points of your art. And I don't even phrase it as far as like, this is good and maybe there's some bad and I just won't talk about it. I'm just commenting with a full heart about the parts I like. Right? Other people are like, oh, it's criticism time. And why did you point out what's good if you wouldn't point out that those faces need work or those hands are kind of weak or the composition is bad? And these are people who are also posting their work for my consideration, proving to me that the first thing they'll do in the face of competition is shit all over it. Right? Those aren't people you want to get involved in a business relationship with. Not to mention it
jabs at the other applicants right off the bat. Yeah.
Not to mention that it's art, right? Which means people are sensitive to begin with. So if you're a jerk before you even have the job, imagine once you have the job, how you'll be empowered to be that much more of a raging asshole. Like, it's just, I cannot believe the level of vitriol with supposed impunity that is on display in these forums. And I actually started feeling bad that I subjected other people to this job offer. Like, I want to give them all jobs now, like out of pity. I want to just go through and pay everyone for the pages they posted is how I feel like now. Obviously, not going to do that, but man. Now, I thought a good facet of this conversation would be to then turn it on you because you'd been part of the early 2000s or late 2000s, I guess, DeviantArt community. And I wondered, is this something, you know, you amassed a very large amount of followers on DeviantArt and communicated and participated in that community in a really huge way for a number of years. Tell me that this is just a road. This is just like a bump in the road that I'm just being too severe. Am I just an old man yelling at clouds?
So the one thing I've noticed about comments on the internet is the website really dictates the tone of those comments. Mm-hmm. So DeviantArt is a good example of you don't see too many negative or even critiquing comments. Everybody's pretty mostly positive and uplifting. And there's even like you can submit your piece under a different banner that says, I'm open to critiques. I want critiques on this artwork kind of thing. But other than that, it's a lot of positivity in 99% of the time from what I've seen. But then there's other parts of the internet where, yeah, you're gonna get more honest reactions, more unfiltered comments. And maybe that's just where this landed. It's not in a place where people are showing their art to get pumped up by other artists. It's a piece of the internet where people are usually a little more raw and just unfiltered.
Oh my God. Speaking of raw, filtered and pumped up, somebody posted some artwork which was like borderline pornography, but the kind of pornography you might draw if you were 11. But from their profile, they were, you know, clearly in their late 30s, just obsessed with perfectly round female body parts, like to the point that they must be using some kind of compass or guide or maybe a protractor to just incorrectly render women's breasts the size of the Earth's moon over and over and over again. And then when I did not comment positively on their comments, they direct messaged me a whole bunch of times, which I can only assume is like things maybe they don't want to post. I won't click on it, but it seems like from the little heading in the message, they're upset that I'm not giving them positive feedback.
They went through the comments and saw that you commented on most posts, but not
many.
Theirs.
Yeah, many. I'd say 75% maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah. If I couldn't find anything positive to say, I said nothing at all. That's how I was raised. But right. It's easy to find, you know, if someone's worked hard on a drawing, it's pretty easy to find something positive to say. But I was standing there beside myself.
Now, okay, so you posted this on, like, is it a Facebook page that anybody can look at?
So some were Facebook pages that anybody could post on, but right. most were ones you had to be members of, and they were like connecting comic right. artists yeah. with writers yeah. or, you know, comics people looking for work or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so I've definitely found, like, I'm going to use an example. Like, there's some conventions that have their own Facebook convention pages. And that, yeah, the comments threads in there can get pretty vile.
It's a good word. Strong word. That's it. Vile.
Right? Yeah, because they have, you know, 100,000 people following this page, and very few of them are artists. So when somebody makes the mistake of posting a work in progress, 99 of those 100 comments are, you know, kind of internet troll type thing. Like, it's just a crappy part of the internet.
So it makes me, now my heart is searching for a positive time that we had looking at people's portfolios when I've been at shows, which of course I miss mm-hmm. at a show. And I'll say this for the dear listener. Why am I doing it this way on the internet? Normally I would attend 15 or 20 conventions with world-class artists or up-and-comers or emerging artists. And you'd find someone just by accident. It's easy to find people in those environments. But since I don't have those environments right now to sort of bump into someone by accident, unless serendipity choose who it is that I will work with, I've had, unfortunately, to go into the internet.
Yeah, like if it was me, I don't think I would have posted it on Facebook. I would have went directly to, I know ArtStation has like a whole section of looking for jobs, offering jobs, paid, not like collaborate, like they have a whole section dedicated to that. And DeviantArt does as well. I haven't been there in a long time, but I know they have forums built around just artists looking for work. I'm new to Discord, but I saw Discord has like an art commission. Those feel like safe zones.
Hello. Would you like to have a roll in the hay? It's fun. Roll, roll, roll in the hay.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying about ArtStation. When I go through ArtStation, I find it's mostly graphic design people. And when I reach out there, almost nobody has sequential illustration in their portfolio. I shouldn't say nobody. There are a number. But and the other thing was I wanted something that I just wanted to try it out. I hadn't done it in so long. I thought this would be fun. And it was kind of on a whim that I did it. And I thought, if I'm really clear about what I'm paying and really clear about what I'm expecting, what could possibly go wrong? Well, I've listed a number of those things.
Do you wish instead that you had searched yourself and direct messaged individuals like, I like your art. Here's what I'm looking to get. Is this of interest of you? That's what you and I are mostly used to, right? We don't have to, we're in the amazing position where we don't have to look for work too often. It's often people coming to us seeing if it's the right fit.
True. And I have done that a little bit as a result of these. So the people who have actually acquitted themselves expertly in this horrible milieu, they've really stood out as being like pretty decent human beings on top of having some pretty good art. And a few of them who followed the rules, so have definitely gone on to my follow-up list. So it is possible to achieve. So I guess the corollary here for the dear listener is, if someone asks you to share your work, share it bravely, be polite. And if someone has asked you specifically not to direct message them, believing that a direct message is the best way is wrong.
I think that's a pretty good golden rule to have about applying to anything, be it a job, a publisher, like an application of any kind. When they have rules, follow those rules, because it's really easy for, like, say somebody who's getting hundreds and hundreds of applications for whatever it is. You know, it's hard to filter through all that. So it's a really easy decision for them to take the people who didn't follow the rules and just say no. That makes their job so much easier. It's a really easy no for them. So just, you know, see what they're asking for and follow those rules. I think we've talked about this too with like submitting to publishers and editors, right? Like as soon as they see that you didn't follow the format that they've asked for, you're not getting past that. Like that's where your application ends. So it's important. It's a good rule to have in life in general.
The other side too is when I ask for sequential pages, if you're applying for a job in comics and you don't know what that word means, asking me to define it is the wrong solution. They invented this thing called Google where you could look up almost anything if you weren't sure of it. But like, if you're trying to get a job, if you want a job in comics and you don't know what I mean by sequential illustration, I don't think you are qualified for a job in comics. Like what, who are these people on the internet? They just saw a dollar figure attached and were like, it has squiggles involved. I'm going to do it. What does sequential mean? I'm sure comics must be easy. You know, this idea is an unhealthy point of view.
That really grinds my gears as well. Whenever, if I post something about like, I'm opening my store at chasingartwork.com on Monday at 5 o'clock to sell my art prints. And the first questions will be, where is your store? The second one will be, when is it opening? It's not open right now. And the third will be, what are you selling on your store? You know, like you, it doesn't matter how many times you spell it out, people will not read. They will just comment.
My wife has an online store. She sells online vintage at patronofdreams.com and laments this. So when I mentioned to her these things that like, oh, people don't read the comments or don't read the instructions, that her eye roll went all the way to the moon. And she was like, I know. She says, but what will stand out is the ones that do.
Yes. Yeah.
Try not to focus on the ones that didn't. Yeah.
It makes, especially when you're getting like hundreds of replies, it it makes your workload easier to just be able to say no to this huge chunk of people that didn't follow the very basic instructions that you started with.
Absolutely. Nice.
I don't know if you've run into this, but like, I think my biggest pet peeve, and this isn't my biggest pet peeve of social media correspondence, and this isn't an open invitation to do this to me, but if somebody messages you on your Instagram and you don't reply right away, they will then go to your Facebook and your DeviantArt and send you an email with the exact same message, just in this like frantic, urgent need to contact you right now.
Yeah.
I've had that happen a couple times and I can't be more against it.
Yeah, I hate it. I mean, this reminds me of a few guests we've had who have weighed in on the social media discussion about the unhealthiness of the appearance of being available. Right. But it got me thinking also. So sort of rant ended. I think that sort of sums up my frustration with hundreds of strangers on the internet currently. The thing it got me thinking about is when I knew nothing, but still believed my work was good enough to get work, and how I went about it in those early days of the internet. One thing, even though I liked breaking the rules, quote unquote, one thing I always did, and one thing that I continue to do, is I don't follow up no reply with another question.
Yeah.
Right. Which is like what you're getting on social media, where it's like, oh, well, if he's on Twitter, I'll send it there. If he's on Instagram, I'll send it there. Or if he's on ArtStation, I'll send it there too. If I got no reply from an email requesting, you know, like, here's some of my work and here's some stuff, I just assumed I shouldn't follow up with another one saying, did you get it?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because obviously they got it. You sent it to them and they didn't respond. It's not a mistake. They didn't like it. So instead, what I tried to do is I would follow up and say, the previous work I sent represent the best I could do at the time. Here is a new sample that I think corrects the following deficiencies of my last submission.
That's what I was going to bring up. Yeah, I would never, I would always, once I finished either a piece or some sequential work that I thought was a level up in skill. This is like, I've hit a new skill level. I'm going to send it to all these people, all these companies, all these publishers, all these agents. And if, you know, one or two get back, if nobody gets back, that's whatever. I don't follow up. I just wait until I've done another project that I think is another level up. Better. And then I repeat that again.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
So you're not resending the same thing twice. You're sending them some progression, some evolution in your work.
Send an improvement.
And it might be like we've talked about before, especially when it comes to like agents or publishers, you might just, you know, it's a wrong time of year for that type of book. That person just wasn't in the mood for a mystery story that morning. 6 months later, it might be a different person reviewing that submission who sees something the other person didn't see. Like, I think, yeah, early on in your career, that's collecting rejection letters like fire, you need to have that. Like, it's such a good thing to get rejected over and over and over again.
100% so, like, agree.
Collect those rejection letters.
Yeah. And I wonder, has this is just a pontification now, has the ability to collect so much negative energy with so little effort changed what people expect? I wonder. You know, like, it used to be that I would send back in the day, a paper copy of something by mail to a, and you know, you would then get a letter back saying, you suck, right? Get out of here. I would treasure that feedback of like, wow, at least they sent me this letter.
If science teaches us anything, it teaches us to accept our failures as well as our successes. With quiet dignity and grace.
Son of a bitch bastard, I'll get you for this!
If it's so fast that you can accumulate that negativity, it's not special that they commented and it doesn't encourage you to go on. You know, like I'm literally a person who was encouraged by every rejection I received because I knew at least it reached them and it wasn't good enough, but that wasn't going to cause me to quit. I just have to get better than the last submission.
But the other edge of that is how much is available and how niche it can get and how many there are that are reachable, right? Like there are, you know, 10 to 100 times more companies that are looking for submissions, whereas like back in the day you'd hear about, you know, a handful a year. Now with a couple of Google searches you can find so many, and some of them are probably going to be right up your alley. How rare was like, and that wasn't around before. So it's pros and cons, but
I really appreciate, I don't have the right kind of work to send them, but Fantagraphics still only accepts submissions by mail.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I wonder how much more serious their slush pile must seem. Because if you're sending a graphic novel, like a copy of your graphic novel by mail, that's not a nothing thing. You've had to put that package together and you've had to print it and hold it and look at it and evaluate it. And you got to really believe in it before you put it in a box to send it to Fantagraphics, you know? So that slush pile it must be hard to choose from that.
I love that story. Was it Dark Horse that you submitted to in Calgary, or was it DC? You did a portfolio submission meetup.
Oh yeah. I met with the DC editors. Yeah.
Okay, so you met with the DC. So rather than present, like submit a physical portfolio, you just taped your information on your latest graphic novel.
That's
and
right.
Put it in a pile.
Yeah,
it worked.
It did work. I forget what show that was, but yeah,
that was Calgary.
That was Calgary. Okay, that was the Calgary one. DC was there. Henderson. Yeah. That's right. Scott Henderson did too. They were reviewing
Tell the story. I'm just gonna put the dog out real quick.
Okay, you put the dog. Dear listener, you stay with me. Or stop me if you've heard this one. But in the Calgary show, rarely but sometimes Marvel or DC will do a request for portfolios where an editor working at the company will review that work and give you honest feedback as a working professional. I've always liked this idea, but I very rarely have just straight up portfolios with me anymore, because most of the work I do, I'll keep on hand as digital links that if I meet an editor, I can send it to them right away and they can look at it and give me feedback sort of instantly. But I loved the idea of a DC editor really reviewing my work. So rather than give a portfolio, I went to the place where you're supposed to drop off for portfolio. I took my last copy of Apocrypha and I wrote up all of my contact information and I glued it to the cover of the finished graphic novel. And I put that with the other portfolio submissions. And sure enough, as Justin points out, it got me a review because it's finished work. They know that someone else published it and they were able to look at those publishing numbers also and say, okay, you're of a quality. What was interesting is that the editor, and you can see previous episodes, I forget which one, but I did talk about this once before. I believe the notes were basically like, you're already doing kind of interesting wild work. Why would you want to do work at DC that you didn't own and that you don't have a say in? And a real telling note was, if you want to draw Batman, don't submit anything but Batman pages. We can't imagine your style as a DC book. We want to see it as a DC book.
Right.
And so it makes submitting hard, but I also don't believe in asking emerging professionals to do spec work if you don't know them. Like, you can lean on a person who you've known for years and like you guys can have fun and go out for dinner and work on some stuff together. And you're not asking anything from a stranger, but if you ask a stranger, do some test pages for me, that's akin to stealing. You're literally stealing their time because unless you've already decided to give them a job, you're probably going to pass anyway. And
this is another reason why we're always pushing for like that first intro into comics. You should probably just be doing something short and your own, right? Like get that first 5-6 page comic finish under your own steam. And now that you have that in your pocket, now you can start submitting to all these places and you have sequential work, right? Like it's really hard to get any sequential work jobs without sequential work to show.
Yeah. With your dishes scene, you need to just have people eating in a diner or doing the dishes or walking the dog or doing regular stuff drawn out. In fact, some of the people whose work really spoke to me in that list of submissions that I've been reviewing are people who had extraordinary looking characters, like science fiction or monster designs, fantasy designs, extraordinary looking characters doing completely mundane tasks. One submission page I saw that I just loved was this like huge monster trying to tie his shoes. And the storytelling of the beats of this big creature trying to reach past his own like weird bodily protrusions to like just get out his boots so he could tie them before he went out showed me adorable, but also showed me so much about what that artist was capable of doing, right? I don't know how many fight scenes I got sent, but too many, right? And punching is easy to draw, but drinking a glass of milk is hard to draw. And so your portfolio should show those things. And I've been guilty many years in a row of showing only the action beats or only the horror beats in my portfolio. And it's only recently I've learned that you have to show this quiet moments in order to get work, not the big moments.
Like a robot building a sandcastle on a beach.
Oh my gosh, that is such a good page of Dragon Nanny.
So of all the, like, of... Tell us some more about like examples of what you saw. Like was there any traditional artists? Is everybody digital? Is everybody black and white? Was there a lot of color work? Like what kind of range of portfolios did you see?
So to speak to the first point, most of the submissions seem to be scans of traditional work. Really? I realized
that is surprising.
Yeah, it surprised me too, actually. The rest was for sure digital. A lot of people using Procreate, that's obvious, or Clip Studio, also obvious. But when I asked for black and white work, it kind of self-limited the portfolio submissions. I got the sense that people who did color work, this was a funny event. Number of people posted black and white work that seemed pretty unfinished. And when I looked through, when I then looked, I felt the work was pretty strong, but missing something. I looked at their online portfolios that they also had posted links to. They usually work in color. So some of them had gone through and while trying to follow my specific instruction, had found the few uncolored pages that they had done and sent those.
Would you mind telling me whose brain I did put in?
And you won't be angry?
I will not be angry.
Abby someone.
Abby who?
Abby Normal.
Abby Normal.
I'm almost sure that was the name.
There were a number of people who believed that, or could see in their work, they believed that showing the full figure doing things seemed like the only way to draw events. So not a lot of, one thing that really separated people who I saw had experience in comics and did not, in comics, you juxtapose movement and moment together. So if someone is making tea, then you cut to a panel of the cup of tea in their hands, right? You don't show their whole body again in the next panel. You want to vary the shot. You want to think like a filmmaker, even though it's not film. Yes, I know comic book purists is not film, but you want to think about keeping the visual medium moving and interesting. If it is your style, like Frank Quitely, to draw full figures all the time, you can get away with it. But he is also a genius illustrator. So If you, however, are starting out, cropping is so essential. In one of the comics courses I'm teaching now with a group of doctors and creative writers, one of the tools I use is this cut piece of paper, very similar to what you were using to do quick thumbnail framing. Mm-hmm. Basically, take a piece of cardboard, cut a little frame out of the middle of it, and then once you've drawn your picture, move that around on it and ask yourself, is this close cropped version more interesting than the wide version?
Yeah.
And when you're working digitally, that's so easy to do, right? Because you can zoom.
I often do that as one of the last steps. When I'm posting an image, I'll post, I usually do the full image as image one. The second image will be a zoomed in of like a panel of like something cool that's happening, you know, in the bottom corner of the piece. And then the next shot will be another cool little thing, like, you know, these tight little crops. And then the last image again will be, you know, the full image. So it's almost like I make this one big detailed piece and then cut it into four little individual panels that are kind of neat all by themselves. And then you see the big view again.
Why this is also really important from a standpoint of if you're being asked to post a page or two, it lets you show off a variety of skills you have. I can draw full figures at a distance in establishing shot. I can draw objects in close up with the lighting understood. I can show a close up of a character, right? So that we see their long shot and how I'm going to render them with only a few marks versus how I'm going to render them when we're close up, right? Mm-hmm. All of those things are great to show on a single page of a portfolio piece. So if you're listening and you're wondering, what should I put in my portfolio? These are good things. Now, these are all pieces of advice I've myself garnered along the way. And one of the things that, coming back around to that DC editor reviewing the work, said, the one thing I don't have to tell you about is storytelling. You are varying your shots. You're varying the pace of the action. The right things are happening on the page turns. I don't have to tell you any of that, but I will tell you that, and I maybe didn't mention this on the other episode, when you're getting artsy, you're losing the audience that's there for story. And I always, that's haunted me, that little sort of summation, because I love getting artsy with it. But he also was quick to point out that a mainstream audience doesn't want to be puzzled by what they've been shown. That some audiences don't mind being puzzled.
Right.
But a mainstream superhero comic book reading audience does not want there to be a mystery to be solved of what they're looking at on top of the story itself.
User accessibility. They want it to be easy to follow, easy to understand,
right.
A to B to C right. to D.
And so mileage on this varies, because like with the Eye Collector that we have out from Heavy Metal right now, and you can get all issues 1 to 5 on Comixology, and the first issue is available in print through Heavy Metal. You can see what we're talking about there if you want. I got full artsy on that one. Tons of stuff that says, what the hell am I looking at? And it's up to Jonathan, my co-creator and writer, to anchor the reader with the words. This is a choice we've made together to say, in this moment when I don't know what I'm looking at, the narrator will tell you how to interpret it. And then through that narrator, you can realize, oh, this dream space operates in this way. So this is what I mean. Mileage varies. Your audience, the Heavy Metal audience, the people who like really weird science fiction and high concept stuff, they don't mind having a puzzle to solve. They're a different kind of reader than your everyday comic book Batman kick in the face reader, right?
Right.
So
yeah, and I'm one of those. I definitely like when there's rules to the weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind going into, somebody's head and having a weird cerebral adventure, but I need some kind of rules to help ground it. I always hated often in like sci-fi shows, they'll have those like really, Farscape especially, they would get like poisoned or drugged or whatever. And there'd be like the whole episode be like, is this real? Is this not? Is this in his head? I didn't like those.
Yeah, where the camera just spins around a lot.
Right.
And they play with the gels in the lights. Yeah.
Yeah. Not a fan.
Yeah. Drugovision. I can't stand in shows also. So all this to say, it started with a rant. The internet is a terrible place full of bullies and assholes. But among them are a few rough gems. And those people, if you're listening to the podcast, having recently discovered me as a creative person because I've reached out to you, know that I saw your work and I reached out to you because I feel it is of value and you're doing everything right. Despite how hard it is to share your work in a public forum. But sharing your work in a public forum is a challenge, and it's good to do so because there's a lot you can learn by not getting the job.
I think it's a really good, it's a stepping stone in your career as well. I feel like every time I'm submitting to companies, whether it's a yes or a no, that's moving forward. That is movement. That's not necessarily me making art movement. It's me making movement in like another direction. So, you know, some days I just do not feel like painting or making pages or making art. So I will just submit my work to publishers and agents and do that kind of stuff, like scour the internet for exactly what you're talking about here. You know, people looking for artists or comics or whatever. So if you do want to be a full-time artist, it's a piece of your job that you should really consider. You know, don't wait for them. Gregory is not going to come out and find you. You have to go look for the Gregories.
Yeah, send your work out often. And every now and then they'll show up. But if someone has poked their head up at the watering hole and said, "Ooh, show me work," don't whisper in their ear in the direct message. Oh my gosh.
You're probably going to suck at submitting work when you start. And maybe that's what a lot of it you got, Gregory, was just people submitting for the first time. And there's going to be fumbles. You're going to do it wrong. You're going to screw up. That's okay. You just got to keep doing it. You'll eventually figure it out and become a pro at submitting your work.
Yeah.
Just to practice.
Some of the follow-up questions I had were things like this. Like, your panel-to-panel storytelling is excellent, but I need some sci-fi illustration. Do you have any other examples, and this does not have to be sequential, that shows off your ability to draw technology, ships, vehicles, right? And then they would show other types of portfolio renderings as a follow-up message, right? Which was fun.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, did you get a ton of non-sequential work? Like, here's just some pinups and posters and cool things that I've done?
So many. Yeah. So many. And I just have to discount that. Because if you think, and some of them very well drawn, but if that's not the job of comics. The job of comics is not one image at a time. It's sequential images. Right, spread out over a span of time of one page. So, and I'm no DC editor either. You know, like if I had more credentials as a influencer, I probably would have got more professional people responding also, right? Or if the page rate had been in that $500 sweet spot, I'm sure I would have got all the other dross, but there would also have been some shinier ones, I'm sure too. Right? Well, Justin, so
what are you going to do with all those unread direct messages?
How to delete them. I'm going to figure out how to delete them all. Because I literally cannot open that browser now because my message tab is just choked with stuff I didn't ask for. Tune in next episode for how I got rid of all of those messages and if anybody managed to squeak through the slush pile that way. I'll keep you posted. This has been Super Pulp Science, where we've talked about how genre gets made. This is Gregory Kmicek encouraging you to make comics, share them with people, but not in their DMs.